الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue reading in the chapter the author she mentioned, حفظها الله تعالى تربية الأولاد. تربية الأولاد, the chapter with regards to raising and cultivating and educating the children. In the previous class we had begun reading the beneficial points that the author she is mentioning, حفظها الله تعالى, with regards to raising and cultivating and educating the children. And she mentioned some points that we had read in the previous class, beginning in the very first stages, before the child can even speak, before the child can even speak, and the likes, the tarbiyah will begin, the cultivation and the education will begin even at this level, or even at this stage. And she mentioned that the child will be taught how to say the name Allah, along with pointing the finger to the heavens. And this will be the first thing that the child will be taught. The first words that it will say, Allah, Allah. Because in the very early stages, it will not be able to say a number of words together. But this word, the great and most beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the proper name of the creator of the heavens and the earth, then they will be able to say this name. It will be easy for them to say the name Allah. So therefore the cultivation will begin at this stage. The child will be taught to say Allah, along with pointing the finger to the heavens. And so the first thing the child will say, Allah, the name of the creator of that child, and the creator of all things, along with the indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is above the heavens in a manner befitting His majesty. And she mentioned likewise that if you give your child some food, like some bread for example, or other than that, something to drink, that you hand it with your right hand to his right hand. You put it in their right hand. And if they try to take it with the other hand, then one, he will direct the child to take it with his right hand in a gentle and in a kind manner. And the evidences for this, any were mentioned in the previous class. And likewise, she mentioned, حفظها الله تعالى, that if the food that is being served is hot, that you should not blow on that food, because there is a prohibition with regards to that. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbade one from blowing in the food or in the vessel and the likes like this, whether it's in the food or in the drink. So therefore this is a prohibition that we are forbidden from falling into. And by doing that in front of the child, first and foremost, the parent is disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And along with that, they are cultivating their child upon disobedience. Because the child will learn that. Because the child will learn that action from the parent. So if the parent follows the sunnah and is establishing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions, then this is from the greatest means of education and cultivation. And the children, they will learn that directly from the manners and the conduct and the dealings of the parents in the home. But if the parents are contrary and they are performing actions that are considered impermissible or forbidden, then the child likewise will learn that. And the children, they learn very quickly, especially from that which they see and hear around them. And likewise, in our previous class, we had read the narration that the author she mentioned, حفظها الله تعالى, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما من مولود إلا يولد على الفطرة فأبواه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه that there is no child except that child is born upon the fitrah, and upon the natural disposition to believe in Al-Islam and to accept the truth and to believe that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the natural disposition to surrender and to submit to the truth and to love that and prefer that. So this is the fitrah that Allah, He has created the creation upon, and every child is born in this manner, and it's only the parents that that change that fitrah and distort that fitrah and cause the child to become a Jew or a Christian or a magi and the likes like this, or to become corrupted and to become foul and to become evil because of the cultivation of the parents. Or even like we see in our days now, because of the great negligence of the parents. Maybe the parents there are not Christians, but they will put their child in the hands of the Christians to raise them. But they'll put their child in the hands of the Christians to raise them, or in the hands of the atheist to raise them and to teach them. Rather, they'll send them with them for 6 to 7 or 8 hours a day alone with them, and in their company, and educating them and teaching them and raising them upon the ways of the disbelievers. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And we have seen this is likewise a type of betrayal, a great type of betrayal, that from the greatest right the child has from the parent is that the parent will raise the child upon Islam, and that the parent will educate and teach and cultivate the child upon the way that's pleasing to Allah, and that will lead to His pleasure, and to cultivate the child likewise to stay away from all of the avenues of evil that lead to the anger of Allah and to the hellfire. And this was all included in that statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your family from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. So the fitrah is there, and it's incumbent to raise the child upon the fitrah. And the one who is diligent in that, then many times they will be given success, because the fitrah is clean and it's pure, and likewise the child, and in the beginning is clean and it's pure. So to cultivate the child upon al-Islam properly, the Islam that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, the Islam that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that his companions were upon, radiyallahu anhum, and that which they taught their students, at-tabi'een, and those and the ones whom they taught after them, Atba' Tabi'een, and those first three noble generations. The one who tries to raise his child sincerely and diligently upon that way, he's not introducing anything new into the soul of the child or to the mind of the child. Rather, he's only cultivating and raising and nourishing the fitra that is already there. As for that which is contrary to that way, in creed or belief or in manners or in conduct and the likes like this, then now they are introducing something foreign into the heart and into the soul or the life of that child and the life of that child. So it's incumbent to strive to raise the children upon the fitrah, fitrat Allah allati fatara nasa alayha, the fitrah of al-Islam, al-Islam al-Tawheed wa sunnah, the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and worshipping nothing but Him alone with no partners, and likewise complying to the sunnah and the laws and legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The author, she says, now if he's Sahih Muslim, also to support this issue here, the narration in Sahih Muslim, it's mentioned that Iyad ibn Himar al-Mujashi'i radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that yawman fi khutbatihi, ala inna rabbi amarani an u'alimakum مَا جِهِلْتُمْ مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي يَوْمِ هَذَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي يَوْمِ هَذَا. Iyad ibn Himar, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned one day in a khutbah that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has ordered me to teach you that which you were ignorant of from that which He has taught me at this moment on this day. And then he mentioned this narration, and it's a long narration. In that narration, and it is this statement, and this is something that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ascribing to Allah. So this is something that should be taken note here, and in the wording here, and he's saying that the Messenger, he said this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and rather he's saying this, and that this is what Allah had taught him, and that Allah says, inni khalaqtu ibadi hunafa'a fajtalathum ash-shayatin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that indeed I have created my slaves hunafa. Hunafa, yani meaning that they are upon the fitrah, upon the ad-din al-hanif, upon al-milla al-hanifiyya, which is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, and it is to worship Allah alone with no partners. So Allah, He says, it's mentioned in this narration, I created my slaves hunafa. Hunafa, yani people of at-tawheed, people of purity and faith and monotheism. Fajtalathum ash-shayateen, and the devils, they have misled them and misguided them, and have taken them away from that. So therefore, the people that created in this manner, upon the fitrah, upon al-hanifiyyah, they're upon the fitrah, upon al-hanifiyyah, يعني عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له سبحانه وتعالى. This is the way that the people are created, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mastered and perfected His creation. And the children are born upon purity, and with a soul that is pure. And it's incumbent for the parents to realize this and to strive to cultivate that purity, that fitrah that is inside of the child, and to keep it pure and to keep it safe from any foreign ideology or from foreign beliefs or being corrupted by the whims and desires or the misconceptions from the shubuhat and the shahawan. Rather, to cultivate that soul upon that fitrah that is already there. That is already there. She says, وَالشَّاعِرُ يَقُولُ وَيَنْشَأُ نَاشِئُ الْفِتْيَانِ فِينَا عَلَى مَا كَانَ عَوَّدَهُ أَبُوهُ. And indeed, the young men amongst us, they will grow up and be upon that which their fathers have accustomed them to. That which their fathers have accustomed them to. And he asked the people of knowledge, they say, مَنْ شَبَّ عَلَى شَيْءٍ شَابَ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ شَبَّ عَلَى شَيْءٍ شَابَ عَلَيْهِ. That whoever was cultivated and raised upon something while he was young, then he will grow old upon that. Then he will grow old upon that. And this is something that's very important, to take advantage of this issue, the fact that the children, they're pure, and their hearts are pure, and they're innocent, and then to protect that, and to cultivate that upon the correct belief, and the correct creed, and the correct faith, and the correct deen, and the correct and upright and noble manners, and the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to be diligent not to betray that trust, or to corrupt that fitrah, or to taint it, or to spoil it, or to soil it, and the likes like this. And this is only from the deception of the devils. فَاجْتَلَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينَ خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَا فَاجْتَلَتْهُمْ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the fourth point she mentions now, حفظها الله تعالى إذا كان ابن سنة ونصف أو نحو ذلك وأراد أن يأكل أو يشرب لقنيه أن يقول بسم الله وبعد ذلك سيعتاد ذلك وسيقول من نفسه بسم الله. So she says now, إذا كان ابن سنة ونصف, if the child reaches 1.5 years, if the child reaches 1.5 years, أو نحو ذلك, or similar to like this, وأراد أن يأكل أو يشرب لقنيه أن يقول بسم الله. And now it wants to eat or drink something, then you must teach it, oh my sister, she's saying, to say بسم الله. So now the child, if it reaches about the age of 1.5 or in that area, where the child is able to say words, and whenever it's going to eat, you teach it how to say Bismillah. You teach it how to say Bismillah. Every time he's about to eat or about to drink something, you tell him or her to say Bismillah. And if you do this in this manner, the child will become accustomed to that. And then, inshallah, after that, by itself, every time he eats and drinks, he will say Bismillah. So again, this is at a very young and early age. She's saying now, if the child is about 1.5 years old, whenever it's going to eat, you teach it to say Bismillah. You tell it to say Bismillah, and it will repeat after you until it's able to say that in this manner, like this. The fifth point, she says, وَمَتَى وَجَدْتِهِ أَهْلًا لِأَنْ يَعْقِلَ أَرْكَانَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَرُكْنَ الْإِحْسَانِ فَعَلِّمِهِ. And as soon as you find that the child is qualified and able to understand the pillars of al-Islam and al-Iman and the pillar of al-Ihsan, then you must teach the child this. Then you must teach the child this. And as soon as you realize that your child is able to comprehend these affairs, then you begin teaching them the pillars of al-Islam and the pillars of al-Iman, and likewise the pillar of al-Ihsan. She says, فَعَلِّمِهِ, teach him. وَلَا أُحَدِّدُ تَعْلِيمَهُ بِالسِّنِينَ لِأَنَّ فَصَحَّةَ الْأَطْفَالِ وَذَكَاءَهُمْ تَتَفَاوَتِ. She says now, and I do not specify the education here at a specific age, because the ability to speak and understand of the children, it fluctuates. And some children, they comprehend more faster, and others a bit slower. So the point now is that as soon as you realize that they're able to comprehend and they're able to repeat after you, then you teach them these affairs. And again, all of this is going back to the reality that the mother, her first, she already learned these affairs. So how could the mother teach the child the five pillars of Al-Islam and the six pillars of Al-Iman and the one pillar of Al-Ihsan if she herself does not know them? So this is very important, again, an indication that before one can save themselves, their family from the fire, or before one can raise their children properly, that they must be raised properly. They must be cultivated properly. They must save their own soul first and foremost by learning the obligations and abiding by them, and by learning the prohibitions and leaving them and avoiding them entirely. And then after this, it is hoped that that person will be successful in benefiting others. So again, an indication of the great obligation and importance of the mother to learn her religion from the proper sources in the proper manner. She says, "Wa arkanul Islami hiya an ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma annahu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam buniya al-islamu ala khams shahadati an la ilaha illa Allah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa iqam as-salati wa ita' az-zakati wal hajj wa sawm Ramadan." Muttafaqun alayhi. And she said, and the pillars of Al-Islam, they are, as is mentioned in the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that Al-Islam is built upon five. And the first one is the testification that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and establishing the prayer and performing the zakat and making the pilgrimage, and likewise fasting the month of Ramadan. And the hadith is muttafaqun alayhi. She says, now wa arkanul imani hiya an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu annahu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam al-imanu an tu'mina بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله ولقائه وتؤمن بالبعث الآخر متفق عليه وانفرد به مسلم من حديث عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. She says, and the pillars of Al-Iman, they are, as is narrated by Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, Al-Iman is that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and in His meeting and that you believe in the resurrection in the hereafter. This narration, she says, is muttafaqun alayhi. And as well, this narration here has been collected as well by Al-Imam Muslim alone from the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So this narration here, what she's referring to with regards to Arkan al-Iman, this is from the narration of Jibreel alayhi salam. It's known as Hadith Jibreel alayhi salam, and it has been narrated from more than one companion. And from the most famous narration that many of us may be aware of is the narration of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And this narration here is collected by Imam Muslim, and this is the wording that Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi, he has chosen for the 40 hadith. And he had made this narration the second narration of those 40 hadith from the hadith of Umar. And this one is collected by Al-Imam Muslim. But as for the wording of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, then it's collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And there are some slight differences in the wording, as we can see here. But as for those who already memorized the other wording, then this would suffice. And the wording of Umar, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-imanu wa tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa al-yawm al-akhir wa tu'mina bil-qadri khayrihi wa sharri wa tu'mina bil-qadri khayrihi wa sharri. This is what she is referring to here. So to teach those pillars of al-iman in this manner. She says, وَرُكْنُ الْإِحْسَانِ هُوَ أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تُكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ وَسَبَقَتْ تَخْرِجُهُ فِي الْحَدِيثَ الَّذِي قَبَلَهُ. And she says now, and the pillar of Al-Ihsan is that you worship Allah as if you see Him, and if you are not able to see Him, then you know with certainty that He sees you. And she says, and the reference of this particular narration has preceded in the previous hadith. Meaning that likewise, this is from the hadith of Abi Hurairah, yani that is muttafaqun alayhi, and from the hadith of Umar, that is in Sahih Muslim. So here we see that as soon as the child is able to understand, it will be taught maratib al-deen, the levels of the religion. And this is al-Islam. Al-Islam lahu thalathu maratib. Al-Islam lahu thalathu maratib. This deen, the deen of al-Islam, it has three levels, three stages. Al-Islamu wa imanu wa ihsan. Al-Islamu wa imanu wa ihsan. The first stage is al-Islam, and the second stage is al-Iman. And then higher than that, in the greatest stage is al-Ihsan. Is al-Ihsan. And each one of these stages, it has arkan. Wa arkan al-Islam khamsa. And arkan al-Iman sitta. Wa ruknu al-Ihsan wahid. Wahid. In this manner like this. This is what she's referring to. So this is as soon as the child is able to understand. وَمَتَى وَجَدْتِهِ أَهْلًا لِأَنْ يَعْقِلْ أَرْكَانَ الْإِسْلَامِ. Whenever you find that your child is able to understand these pillars, and just in the general sense, to mention them to him, the شَهَادَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. إقام الصلاة, establishing the prayer. إتاء الزكاة, performing the zakat. وصوم رمضان, fasting the month of Ramadan. And حج البيت. Hajj al-Bayt, making the pilgrimage to the house. As soon as you feel that your child is able to comprehend that, and understand that, and memorize that, then you teach it to them. Even before they can write. Maybe they can't write, but they can understand. They can hear you say that the pillars of Islam are five. And then you tell them that. And then after that, you ask them, how many pillars are there in Islam? And they'll respond to you. They'll say five. And then you tell them the first pillar is the Shahada. In this manner like this. And then you say to them, what's the first pillar? They're going to tell you the Shahada. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. You ask them, you tell them, what's the second pillar, establishing the prayer. Then you ask them, what's the second pillar? And they can tell you. Now, what are the five pillars of al-Islam? And they'll tell you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like this. And it's easy for them. But you have to make effort. And this is an obligation that's upon you, my noble sister, with your child. With your child. And then likewise, after that, the pillars of faith. And then the pillar of al-Ihsan. She says now, the sixth point, عَلِّمِهِ أَحْكَامْ الْوُضُوءِ. عَلِّمِهِ أَحْكَامَ الْوُضُوءِ. You teach the child the rulings of al-wudu. Just as we have to cultivate ourselves and our children inwardly as well, inwardly, and purify our creed and belief, likewise we have to cultivate ourselves outwardly and purify our bodies and as well as the environment around us and our clothes. Purify our bodies and our clothes and the environment around us. All of this is from al-Islam. At-tuhur shatru al-Islam. At-tuhur shatru al-Islam. That purification is very important in al-Islam, especially in creed. But likewise in conduct and manners, and speech and deed, and also in one's body. Also in one's body, one's clothing, one's environment. So even now the child is very young. As soon as he can understand, likewise it's like this. عَلِّمِهِ أَحْكَامُ الْوُضُوءِ. Teach your child, my noble sister, the rulings of al-wudu'. And again, فَقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. And again, the person who does not have something cannot give it. So if you, my noble sister, do not know any rulings about wudu, then how could you teach your child? So all of this is an indication of the great importance of learning your religion before you have children. If one was not given success to that, at least any now knowing that it's an obligation. And to raise your child. And before that, you must raise yourself. So teach the child the rulings of wudu. And this is according to his age. In the likes like this, just clarify for the child how to make wudu. And teach the child how to begin and what they must say. In the beginnings, to say Bismillah, and to start with washing their hands three times up to the wrist, and then after that, how to finish the wudu, yani entirety and property in this manner, like this, and little by little, and teach them about the things that would invalidate the wudu, so on and so forth. She says as well, وَإِذَا أَكَلَ مِنْ إِنَاءٍ فَقُولِ لَهُ يَأْكُلْ مِنَ الَّذِي يَلِيهِ فَفِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ عُمَرِ ابْنِ أَبِي سَلَمَةَ رضي الله عنهما قال أنه قال كنت غلاما في حجر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكانت يدي تتيش في الصحفة فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا غلام سم الله وكل بيمينك وكل مما يديك. And inshallah this point here we will discuss in the next class. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.